Welcome to the Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical, and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.
Welcome to the show. Today is Monday, and this is going out live on Mintwave Radio. So you can ask Alexa, or you can go to the website, karenrobertscoaching.com/mintwave-radio. Now, if this is via podcast, same website, you can actually download the app for Apple and on Android, and feel free to subscribe to other podcasts that are on our network. Find the right fit for you and follow any or leave a comment. Now, today's episode is 154, and today we have Jenny Lee, who is a mindset coach and a teacher. And we're going to be talking about why happy morning routines are healing for the nervous system. I'm your host, Karen Roberts, helping coaches and therapists to get their message heard to the people who need it. Now, Jenny is a teacher of 20 years. She is inspired to help women be aware of their own self-care after a realization of how her own lack of self-care had put her on the wrong path. Now, after a few taxing life events, years of self-separation, postpartum depression and divorce, life directed her on the path of self-care and self-discovery. She uncovered her connection to happiness and inspiration through her morning routines and self-care embodiment. Jenny is now on the journey of guiding other women to heal and reconnect with their dignified and higher selves through morning rituals and self-care. So, welcome to the show, Jenny.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Awesome. So you've been on a journey yourself, which is why you're doing what you're doing now. So would you like to share with the audience a little bit more about your journey?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I'm just so happy that me having this interview with you is also a part of that journey. It was just me being dispatched by the universe, it feels, after all these years of growing up in conservative environments. And because of all that conditioning, it was full of pressure and judgment. And it was always about me having, what do I have to give? What do I have to give to have approvals? And so that caused me to, for many years up into my adulthood and motherhood, I was always living in this trauma response. It's like everything I did was never enough. And that was also the pressure that I was giving to myself. So at some point, things just blew up in my face. There's the divorce, but it was also the cause of that was really because I had such a bad relationship with myself. I wasn't taking care of myself. I wasn't listening to what I needed. And so for probably the last couple of years, I would look at myself, and that was after childbirth, and there was probably a hormonal imbalance and also exhaustion. But then I thought, because that's how I grew up with my mother, who was considered noble because she broke her body to take care of the family, and I carried that story with me too. And so at some point, I looked at myself in the mirror. I hated what I saw in the mirror, and I was self-criticizing all the time. And slowly, I started losing my friends. I did not have any friends, and I became this very confrontational person, and towards my former husband too. And at some point, nobody could actually bear me, and we got a divorce. So I moved out of the house that we used to live in. And also, I wanted to add that as a mother, I was not emotionally available because of that lack of self-care. And so I moved out of the house and to this other town in Connecticut. And I finally had time for myself because my former husband and I, we had split custody. And so I had a couple of days for myself. And that time, I didn't even know what to do with it because I was always so busy. It used to be I was a mother and I also had a job. And then I also was the cleaner and the cook and then the wife. And then I would have to come home and be a teacher again for my child. It was all so overwhelming. And so when I only came home from the job, what do I do? It was all so strange. But then I was forced to sit with myself and actually listen to what I needed. And it was difficult. And at some point, I realized that, oh, wow, I really haven't been taking care of myself. And so I still did not like my job at that point. And I felt, so the mornings, it really used to be really such a drag, because when I was growing up, I went to Catholic schools, and I also grew up in a toxic environment. Like I said, it was a lot of pressure, because outside of me is the Indonesian community, Muslim community, that's very conservative. And you have to cover up, and also my parents are Chinese, and they're very conservative too. So I grew up with a lot of judgment there and pressure, and I could never do well enough at school, and I was the black sheep. And Catholic school, of course, with all the body shaming and all the kind of judgment again. I was never good at school. And so because of that was really eating up my self-esteem. And so going to school in the morning, when you have to deal with all the corporal punishments and judgment again, and you know that you could never do well enough, it's so hard to wake up to. And then the church, when I thought I could sleep in on Sunday, I had to go to church. So, oh my God, mornings were just like, I hated it with passion. But there was this one morning, of course, I was still also depressed, but my son was not with me at that point. And I just woke up a little too early and I couldn't go back to sleep. And it still felt heavy. But then I thought, okay, what would make me feel better at this point? Because, oh, this is so depressing. It's dark and such a drag. And so I turned on the music. And that sounded good. And then that was out of the ordinary, because I was already in this hamster wheel, right? When someone is already in this routine or this habit, although it's miserable, it can be a comfort zone. And that's where I was at that point. And although it was that morning, right now, looking back then, it was depressing, but I still had a resistance to play that music because I got so used to silence and depressive mood. Okay, let me just turn that on anyway. So I turned that on anyway, and it just broke. It's something changed at that point, because then, all right, there's the energy changed. Then I felt like moving my body for a little bit. There was still resistance there, but I ended up dancing for 3 minutes. Oh, that felt so good. And so the next morning, because I already did that and it felt good, okay, let me do that. Let me turn on some music and dance for a little bit. And this time it was 5 minutes. And wow, why didn't I do this right earlier? And so then the following morning, I decided I would wake up 10 minutes earlier so I could dance two songs. And after I decided doing that and I followed through, I went to work and my mood was uplifted. It was my interaction with the students, because I did not like my job, it was more of me going to work, tell the kids to do their work and submit the lesson plans, take my paycheck and go home. It was this, like I said, the hamster wheel, this monotony that I was in that I got used to. But then because I had a little bit of fun first thing in the morning, my mood changed and then I became happier at that moment. Then I could actually go to work, and then I started asking myself when I was lesson planning, how can I make this fun? How can I make this lesson fun? And then because of that, because my mood changed and everything, my interaction with the students changed too, and they became more receptive to my lessons. And now we have such a great relationship and I could actually enjoy them. So yeah, keep in mind that I also teach in Hartford, and Hartford is an inner city school. And a lot of the children come from environments are problematic, violence, gangs and drugs and domestic violence, even that too. And so they would come to school needing love. And at that point when I was exhausted and depressed, I could not give them any of that love and attention. So we didn't have good relationships because of that. But because I changed my inner environment, and then I asked myself, what can I do to make this fun at this moment? Because of that question, that changed everything. And yeah, the 10 minutes then evolved to 15 minutes because I had so much fun. I added 5 more minutes the next couple of weeks. And then I figured out I want to learn something a little challenging dance moves. And at that time I was doing belly dancing and I wanted to try the belly flutter. So I added 10 more minutes just so I could learn that. And I actually nailed it in 3 months. And then I learned about juicing. So I added 15 more minutes or 20 more minutes just so I could do the juicing and wash the appliances. And then I learned about breath work and meditation and ice cold shower and all kinds of challenges. And now I have 2 hours of morning routine. And it was, and those 2 hours are the most enjoyable, the happiest time, the most joyful moments that they are very nourishing for me emotionally and physically, because of course it gets me all in shape from all the movement, the dancing and the challenges. And that changed me as a person. And to go back to that title of today, how it heals the nervous system. When before I was snappy, I was judgmental, because I was living in trauma response and I had unregulated nervous system. And I was, a lot of people who are living in a lot of stress are like that. Everything is a trigger. You have somebody that maybe didn't mean to say something and then you would snap at them, or road rage when there's really nothing there that is necessary to be yelled at. But hey, when you are in this unregulated nervous system, life is harder. But because I got into this habit of being happy through my movement and then the meditation and all other work, and it's just me reconditioning, rewiring my body into this happy, joyful environment where I can be present with myself when I'm connected with myself, slowly I was healing my nervous system. And now I have a different lens of looking at life. Now my question every time I do something is, how can I make this fun? It's, life is so much better like that. So that's how I got on this journey.
Wow. That is, it's just proof, isn't it? Really, that the majority of people are just going about their day on autopilot, like you say, reacting to mm-hmm. things. So if you don't feel good, that the reaction's never going to be good. And that time for self-care can just turn it all around. You can't change your kids that you go and teach. Wow. You can't change your husband. The only person you can change is yourself. Exactly. And then that will have a knock-on effect. It's, you know, when you listen in, and it's great to hear, and this is why it's so important for people to share their stories, right? Because when you hear your story, all of a sudden you could see why that would be, and then look at yourself and go, oh wow, I can do the same. It's empowering,
isn't it? Yes, that's the idea, the empowerment. So of course a lot of people, it's really easy for us to fall into the victim mode. Oh yeah, life is hard and what can I do about that? But whether or not it's hard, it's really up to you how you respond to it, right? Because when you've already armored yourself, your emotion and your spirit, getting yourself used to thinking that I can actually turn this around by focusing on the things that I can be grateful for, right? But it's a habit. That's another thing. Happiness is a habit. But then when you've already taken the action, like in the morning, focus on what you can do that gives you the most exhilaration. Maybe the dance. It could be for somebody, it's going outside, get some fresh air, going on Peloton, or maybe just laugh for no reason. And that's why I choose the morning. It's because the world is still sleeping. And for a lot of mothers who feel like, oh, it's selfish, right, to take time for yourself and you're not taking care of your kids. But when your kids are sleeping, the world is sleeping, nobody's judging you. And when you dance, nobody's watching. When you do whatever, nobody's watching. And you can focus on yourself. And And when you keep on generating that joyful energy by choosing something that gives you the most happiness, that gives you the most joy when you're doing it, then you realize that you have the power to generate your own happiness, to generate that happy energy. And you are then creating this solid place of love, right, within you. And then that is the place that you create where you build your business, how you take care of your family, relate with other people, build relationships, wherever. And so it doesn't matter then, right? Negative news, negative neighbors, or crazy drivers. It doesn't affect you anymore because none of that matters. Because, why would you want to get into that reactive mode anymore? And that's another thing too. I wanted to talk about how that really helps you create your boundaries. So I grew up being programmed to be the certain idea of what a woman should be in an Asian country, of course. And of course, whatever is according to the Catholic religion, this virtuous woman after college, you get married and have kids, then there's no room for me to be who I want to be. And so when you are raised like that, there's no boundaries because it doesn't matter what you want. I grew up pretty much like that. And even when I was compromising a lot in a lot of my relationships, including my marriage too. And that because there was so much suppression because of what I wanted, because that side of me didn't matter. And that was also causing a lot of depression. And so that is the result of having no boundaries, right? You just let other people take your autonomy of your life. And because I was reconditioning myself in the fun and joy and keep on asking myself what feels good right now. It's a reconditioning of my mind and my body to get used to what feels good. And so when something doesn't feel good, somebody's, push the boundaries. And I became very sensitive now because I'm connected with my body. I'm connected with what I want. And when somebody is pushing that boundary, I can feel it. And so that's when I started building this bubble around me. And when somebody tries to step in, if that doesn't feel good, you don't have to allow it. And if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Setting your boundaries is so important. And something you said there about, you said right back at the beginning about we put so much pressure on ourselves.
Yeah.
We judge ourselves. And then through, depending on your upbringing, these cultural judgments as well on top, which, yes, of course, is gonna make for a very unhappy person. But isn't it interesting that it's even like we say, okay, it could be a cultural thing, it could be a religion thing, but actually it's not. It's because it's all actually coming from you. It's what it's the pressure that we put on our own selves because of this upbringing. That really is massive. And I think there's more, and I'm not saying only women suffer with this because they don't. However, the caveat to that is in certain cultures, it's not just the cultural issue, but it is the fact that you're a woman that it does add to it, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. But of course, the pressure is also on the men, right? Because yes, in a certain culture, they are programming the members of the culture, of the community, to continue the traditions.
Yes.
And I'm glad that I broke that. I'm glad that I'm aware of that now. But you can only be aware of that when you step out of it and get connected with yourself, then start realizing, start identifying all these things that are not aligned with your true self. And you can only do that when you're present with yourself. And what really helps me to be present is the fun, whatever that I do for myself that I need. And it was quite a trip, quite a journey, really.
You've raised your vibration. Anything, if you're in a lower vibration and you're not feeling good, depression, I see as you've got caught in a cycle. You're caught in this habitual pattern of thinking about things, which is causing certain feelings, which is then creating more thoughts. And you're just caught in this hamster wheel, as you put it earlier. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the way I see it is that the trouble with today is that we own it. Depression is a thing. And I think, rightly or wrongly, this is my own outlook on it. Is it a thing, or is it just, like you say, we all run through habitual patterns. So if we've had something that's happened and we haven't been able to pull ourselves out of it, all of a sudden that is becoming the new norm. And so that is continuing these feelings of depression. Mm-hmm. But it's all solvable, isn't it? So you've just shown that just by changing a morning ritual, and for some people they'd go, 2 hours? I haven't got 2 hours to spend. But like you said, you started with 10 minutes. And every single person on the planet could start their day with 10 minutes by setting that alarm clock 10 minutes earlier. But this seems to be the issue, is that we are, again, because of our conditioning, we're so resistant to change, even if it's just 10 minutes. But what do you think made you stick with it? Because as we know, a lot of people can struggle creating a new habit, right? If you said to somebody, even if you said to somebody, you're going to be a millionaire in 3 months' time if you spent 10 minutes every morning doing this. Do you think many of them would even do that?
Possibly, but is it sustainable? Is it what your true self really want? What really makes me stick with it is because it's fun and easy. That's why within those 10 minutes, you have to ask yourself, what can you do within the 10 minutes that gives you the most joy? Something that you'd be excited to wake up to. So it's like this. Back then, I told you how much I hated school and how hard it is to just get out of bed because, oh, the bed is so safe here, right? But then when there is a field trip, it would be hard for me to go to sleep because I was so excited, and I would be waking up so much earlier because I was so excited about the field trip. And I think that's what really happened, because I have designated something fun that I know that I would do, even if it's just 10 minutes, my mind and my body follow that. The idea is to create this positive association between the activity, between the new habit and your body. Because at that point, when you tell me to wake up 2 hours early to go to the gym, not going to happen. No. So when you just set something easy and fun so that it's easy for you to follow through. Because when you want to start a new habit, this is the key. It needs to be simple, easy, and fun. Then it's easy for you to just wake up and do that and have fun. Hey, this is really not bad. This is actually good for me and I'm having fun. Then the next day, it's going to be easier because you already created this muscle memory. You know that it's actually not so hard. then do it again the next day, doing it again the next day. And maybe in a couple of weeks, you can add a couple of more minutes, right? And you can do more and you can get in more of a shape because you're doing it a little longer. And so do that incrementally. If you want to get up to 2 hours, good. But do that in an easy way, the kindest and gentlest way for your mind and your body. Because when it's a shock, there's a rejection there. There's going to be a lot of resistance, right? But when it's easy and gentle and simple and fun, who doesn't want that?
Yeah. Then there's going to be no resistance. And that is that, I suppose that is the key really for anybody starting anything new is that, if it's this is why New Year's resolutions never work, because people put such big changes that their mind is not used to and has never done before. And instantly there's going to be resistance because the mind's going to go, really?
It's a shock to the system. That's not how things work. We all, naturally humans evolve little by little. We don't evolve just like suddenly we're this modern species, right? It took like millions of years. And so in order for us to change, if we want to be a new kind of person, we want to pick a new personality, we want to pick a new habit, that's how you do it, little by little, minute by minute, and consistent though. And the idea is really...
There's the key.
Yes, consistency and commitment that you are showing up for yourself. Right. Because what got me into that, all the mess of depression and that bad place was really self-abandonment. And a lot of us have done that, right? Abandoning ourselves for a job, for some status and or family. But all of these things won't exist without you. And so for a lot of people, that's what they need to reconsider. If you want your energy, so before you show up for all of these things, you need to show up for yourself first. Because without you, all of these things won't exist. The family, the business, the relationships. You are the center of the world, and that world needs to be stable. It needs to be joyful and happy and full of love in order for these other aspects to thrive too. But you first need to thrive.
So it's, all the old sayings, you can't give from an empty cup. It is. We understand it going on an airplane. You've got to give yourself the oxygen mask for. So why don't we give ourselves permission to spend time in self-care? Because it's exactly the same thing.
Yeah, and nothing could grow from dry soil. The soil needs to be tended to and nourished and given love so it can grow all these trees and all these beautiful things that nourish people around you.
Too much pressure. So like you've said, it's coming from either... the church, certain growing up, all these issues that have been put on us from growing up, and then all this judgment. Do you see a change in people? Do you think more people, because obviously I spend all my day talking to people like you, so I hear it all the time, but do you think more and more people are becoming more aware of the importance of meditation, breath work, all this kind of thing? Do you think things are changing?
I have been meeting more and more people, mostly women, that are aware that they need to tend to themselves first. But I think a lot of us are in this kind of transition now because I do feel that. So I heard of this saying that the world, the universe, or this is like a different age that we're living in. Things are getting easier, right? With all this technology and advancement. So all these toiling, all these hard work from the past, from our ancestors that put us where we are today, it is really our job to take it to the next level. And maybe that's why things are so much easier, so that we can put our time and energy to better things. So it's the saying that I heard, the vibration of the world is rising. It's water that keeps rising. And it's like a video game character. And this character is going up the ladders. And we are the people who need to go up the ladder. And the water keeps rising. And so with the vibration of the universe, like, you know, of this age right now, we need to keep up with that. And you can only do that when you're in a place of connection with yourself, because when you're connected with yourself, you're connected with everything else, right? And that's how you get the idea, you get the information, because you're following your intuition. And when you're disconnected from all of that because of stress or depressed mood, autopilot, it's keep on hitting a wall. And before you realize it, you're drowning when the world has already, like so far ahead. And that's why when I have heard of all these people complaining, which is true. Prices are rising, right? Life is getting harder. The world is getting crazier and all those things. But maybe that's why we're here. Maybe we're not supposed to just be cooped up doing what we've been doing in the last 30, 40 years. Maybe it's time to change so that we can contribute to giving more love to whatever problem that's going on.
Yeah.
And that's how we are keeping up with the rising vibration.
Yeah. Because it's all perception, isn't it? Like you just said there, life is getting better. We've advanced technologically. There's lots of things that we wouldn't be doing this show right now without it. And yet there's another outlook, depending on who you are, that life is hard, that things are getting harder. Like you said, the world is getting crazier, but it's all here, the good, the bad, the ugly. And it's up to us to choose what we see. And like you say, if your vibration is low, the lens that you have on to see the world is a certain way, that the life is hard. And yet, if you're happy because you've been doing your morning rituals, you've got a different lens on.
Yes, exactly. And there's this metaphor that I came up with yesterday. I don't know if you're familiar with Alan Watts, but he said something like, we're holding so tight to this big, heavy boulder that's rolling down that was supposed to just come down the hill and crash. But it's like we're holding on to that boulder with our lives. Why? Why can't we just let that boulder come down and crash? Because, you know, that boulder represents our old selves, what we need to let go, right? Okay, it's completely understandable when you've done this thing, the same thing for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and it's hard to let it go. But then it's going to take you down too. The rising water, right?
Absolutely. Change is inevitable. It's the only constant. It's the only constant, right?
Yeah.
But we do, we get, and I think that's, again, going back to even like when we talk about depression, I say people like own it. It's almost like we want to own things. It's release it, release ownership of everything and just go, because none of it's serving you. But isn't it funny that, yes, we seem to, whenever we have this need to take ownership, if we've been told we're ill, we take ownership of the illness rather than, okay, it's just, oh, I'm just going through this.
Yeah.
You don't have to own it, but we, as human beings, it's like we have this desire to hold on to it rather than, I love that analogy. Yeah, let go of that boulder. You don't need to own it. Release it.
Yes.
It's not yours to keep and hold. It might be temporary. Now let it go. But
it has something to do with this fear, right, of death. There's when something changes, there's a part of you that dies. It's like moth to the fire. When the moth goes to the fire and it dies, that for me, it represents our ego. that dies. It's our old selves, the part that we keep holding on to. But sometimes we do need to let go. We do need to die every single day for our new self to come alive. And yeah, that's the philosophy that I've been living on. It's okay.
Yeah.
You let go of things and let it die because that's your past. It's not there anymore.
It's done. The past is, yeah, even yesterday, it's gone. It's done. So moving forward, yeah, every day is a new opportunity.
Exactly.
So you've seen a massive change in your own life. So now what is it you're doing? You're helping other women to do the same.
Mostly women, yes. At first, it just started with, okay, me helping people with the idea of waking up in the morning and make it fun so that mornings are not hard anymore, because 70% of Americans find mornings to be stressful and dreadful. And I thought, okay, a lot of people identify as, I'm not a morning person. Okay, me neither. It can be hard when you have to wake up to a job that you don't like, when you have to wake up exhausted, having to take care of everybody else. Of course, it's hard. But what if you wake up first thing in the morning just for you and how you can make it fun? And so it's like waking up to a field trip. You're waking up to something exciting that you're going to do for yourself. So from there, then I notice how nourishing it is, actually. And I think more mothers would need this, because I was just relating with them with my past as a depleted, exhausted mother. And so they became the focus, and especially because the first two clients of mine were mothers who have two kids and the other one five kids. Yeah. And it was really rewarding. And so that kind of became the focus, the mothers, nourishing them first, because mothers are the glue of the family, of society. Yeah. And it became important for me to take care of the mother first, because when you have happy mothers and you have happy children, because thinking about back then when I was growing up, my mother was exhausted and depleted. And because of that, there's this negative environment that I grew up in because she was always stressed. Mm-hmm. And that's just not healthy. And so you see the influence of a happy, nourished mother to the next generation. And that energy is going to be passed on to the next generation.
Yeah.
And that's just my contribution of creating a happier world, starting with a mother.
Love this. And yeah, because if I'd known all this stuff back when my children were very little, because yes, my remembrance is, yes, it is stressful. Plus you don't get any sleep. So even the idea of getting up earlier, I think I would have resisted. But it is funny that you only understand this stuff if you do it. You've got to, it's in the trying it. The only thing is through experience. I can remember, I said this only, I think the other day on the podcast, when I was introduced to this stuff, was Bob Proctor had just filmed The Secret. This was before it was going to be released as a DVD. So I'd pre-ordered the original film, and a coach told me, there's so much depth to that film, watch it twice a day for a month. And at the time, I had a newborn, I had a four-year-old, we'd just moved to a foreign country. My partner was away a lot, back in the UK working, and then back in the week. So yes, a lot of stress, thinking, you're crazy, I haven't got whatever, 90 minutes, I can't remember how long the film was, 90 minutes, morning and night, when I've got this to do and that to do and that to do. The instant resistance to what I was being told would benefit me. And there's still this natural resistance. But yeah, I did it. Yeah, we did get everything we wanted at that time on the back of that. And I put it down to that. But it's funny thinking back but there was just instant resistance to it. Mm. Even though I was told, that's why I said earlier, even if you told somebody, you could do this in 3 months if you just spent 10 minutes a day. A lot of people, there would still be resistance, even if they wanted it. They would still resist doing it because we have been so conditioned to think in that way. That was the automatic response until I thought, actually, maybe I should listen to that advice and actually give it a go. And then in the doing it, you only learn through the doing it, not the hearing about it. So it's no good, listeners, if you're just listening in and going, oh, yeah, I could do 10 minutes a day. No, that's not going to work. You've got to actually do the 10 minutes a day.
Yes. And it really is not hard if you just give it a try once. That's why I made it easy, because that's how I made it for myself. It's so important to focus on what it gives you. So what does it give you, really? For, yeah, I was one of those too. I was one of those mothers too. So, oh, waking up 10 minutes early.
Yeah.
I'd rather sleep 10 minutes more.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you not realize? Do you not realize how hard it is for me? Do you not realize I haven't had any sleep for, yeah, it's that instant reaction with resistance rather than going,
yeah, but maybe. Actually, in that investment of 10 minutes of joy and happiness that you give to yourself, that would make the whole day, the next 18 hours, so much easier. Like, how's that?
Yeah.
Focus on that. When I do, and then I give myself 10 minutes, 18 hours would be so much easier. It won't be as depressing.
And you're only going to learn that through experiencing it.
Yes.
So, I mean, yeah, it might not happen instantly the first day. However, if it makes you feel good for at least half an hour, then great. And then the next day, a couple, it lengthens itself out, doesn't it? So it's all with baby steps to create some new habits. Yeah, oh, I love it. I would always be a bit of an all or nothing kind of person. So doing anything slowly would, for me personally, I could, again, anything that's easy, I can't think what book it's from, anything that's easy to do is just as easy not to do. So there can be a slight, again, resistance there. Whereas sometimes for me, to go all in would actually work rather than doing things slow. It's funny, isn't it, how different we all can be. For some people, doing the bit by bit, whereas I could then just as easy not do it because it was only 10 minutes.
But don't you think
it's weird?
You might want to give yourself more credit than that. Just because you're doing baby steps doesn't mean that you're not going all in. At that moment, within the 5-10 minutes, you are going all in. When you're present in the 10 minutes, you are going all in. And then your all in will evolve.
Evolve.
15 minutes.
Love that.
Half an hour.
Love that.
1 hour. It's.
But I suppose that you've just got to start. You've just got to start.
Yes.
You've just got to start doing 10 minutes and see how it progresses.
Yes.
Love this.
Exactly.
So this has had a knock-on effect to your kids as well that you teach?
Absolutely. And my availability as a mother too. Because before, I remember when I was exhausted, of course, I always made sure that he's eating and, oh my God, there would be guilt when he ate lunch late. I was like, oh my God, I'm such a bad mother. He ate lunch half an hour late.
Yeah.
All of that, right? But I was always exhausted. He would want to play. I can't do it. I'm so exhausted. Or read a book. Like, I can't. I was emotionally unavailable. And there was a lot of emotional rejection that thinking back, oh my God, like there's probably still part of that of me that I still need to forgive. But knowing back then why, right? It is because of that.
Yeah,
but
sure.
Now I have so much energy for a lot of things for my son. Okay. All these activities that we could do and just all this enthusiasm. And I became a good mother because of that. We have such a relationship, right?
So it all has a knock-on effect. So it's all down to stopping judging yourself, stop being so hard on yourself, giving yourself a bit of a pat on the back for doing well, because we're not conditioned to do that either. And what's the word you just said there? Forgive. Forgive yourself.
Yeah.
Forgive yourself. Yes, you need to forgive anybody else as well, but more importantly, forgive yourself.
Yeah, because it is through these mistakes you are learning the better way of doing things. And so there's really no bad or good here. It's like all of us are here to learn. And another thing that I also want to mention is the process, right? You need to enjoy the process. So another thing from Alan Watts that really got to me yesterday, that in life, everything that we do is really just a dance. Life is a dance. And in modern society, we always want to get somewhere, right? We always want to arrive somewhere. We always, it's like, I'll be happy when, I'll be happy when. But what if wherever you are right now, it's just a dance? You don't need to get to anywhere. And so it's like the morning routine. That's how I learned to just enjoy the moment through the dances, because I don't need to get anywhere. It is just to enjoy, that helps me enjoy life. Like right now, I'm having so much fun. We don't need to get anywhere. We're just chatting and I'm having so much fun connecting. And that's the point of life in general. Every single moment, every activity that you're doing, even washing the dishes.
Right? Enjoy the moment, even if it's washing, even if it's washing the dinners. Enjoy anything you do. But this is it, isn't it? Like you say, we're always trying to get somewhere. Have you got the goal is to do this rather than just accepting where you're at right now and enjoying that moment. And then life, funnily, when you do that, and that takes practice, because that's a lot of conditioning to get rid of. That practicing being, just simply being, for the sake of being. And weirdly, things happen because you are in that present. Like you said about the vibration of everything, the whole universe is up there. And when you are practicing your being, you connect with it.
Yes.
And that's when things do work with and through you, because you are in sync. You are in alignment. When you're trying to stress or even control, like I used to think, oh, I'm busy being busy. And I thought I had to keep a track of everything and control this. And that's all ego mind. And that's all in a lower vibration. Then you're not connected and things don't flow as easy. It is so much easier than it's so much easier than I thought anyway.
It can be if you let it. That's all about
if you allow it. Yes, allow it. Life is happening for you. It is. It's not happening. It's just we've got it all wrong. We've been getting it all wrong. And that is through our conditioning, what we've taught to be, you know, how things work. And I think more and more people are having more of an understanding of how things really work, just because you can't see it with your eyes. Exactly. You can only experience it and you'll feel it.
Yeah.
So for the listeners out there, if I'd like to try this, and what is it you do? What is it that you offer?
For now, I am happy to just connect with you. So say tomorrow morning, you want to start, I give a 30-minute free coaching with me, and we can explore what you love doing the most, and you can start just tomorrow morning. And if you would like me to be your accountability partner, I have a 6-week program just one-on-one with me. And we have 2 calls for the week to monitor your progress and me cheerleading you. So yeah, those are the 2 things at this point. And also feel free to join my Facebook group, because that's where I would hold challenges that are free with other people. I'm actually building a community here of people who just want to be happy, especially moms. Yeah.
So to the listeners out there, what is that website? How do they get in contact with you?
So on Instagram, you can find me on Sunny Jenny Lee, and I also have a Facebook group and a Facebook page. So I will give all the details to you, Karen. I think you'll have this on the show notes, right?
I will, but if they're just listening on the radio, they can't see anything. So where do you send them to?
I go to Instagram at Sunny Jenny Lee.
Sunny Jenny Lee.
Connected awesome. From there.
Yeah. Okay, fantastic. Yeah, I'm totally with you. Yes, I do have my morning ritual. It can vary. Yes, I aim to do 2 hours, but it doesn't always end up being that. And I know it works. And I too can get complacent. And I find that when I haven't been doing it, I notice that things are getting harder, and that it is just about getting back to it. And it's okay if you don't do it every day. Again, no need to feel guilty. Oh, I haven't done my my morning ritual. It's okay. You just start again the following morning. Yeah, and I know that I feel better when I'm doing it. I feel better than when I've been doing it than when I haven't been doing it. So yeah. I know it's true. I know it works. So guys, get in touch. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm having so much fun. I really enjoy connecting with you and your audience. Yay.
Awesome. Awesome. So the rest of the listeners, I will be back. So tomorrow, we now do 3 shows a week. And if you, anybody's out there who, if you're a coach or a therapist or a healer, and you would like to get your message heard, if you'd like to be a guest, come to the website. In fact, if you go to KarenRobertsCoaching.com/academy, you'll be able to see all the things that we offer, whether you want to be a guest on the show, whether you'd like to host your own show. As the owners of Mint Wave Radio Station, this is a radio station dedicated to coaches, therapists, and healers, because every coach is slightly different. They've all got different tools in their toolbox. They're all helping solving different problems, which is why we have our directory. So come and find the right fit for you, because there's no right or wrong. It's whatever works for you. And just as Jenny said earlier, it's just do what makes you happy. So do what resonates with you. So if you'd like your own show, come and get in touch. If you need help getting clients, come and get in touch. Otherwise, I will be back tomorrow with a coffee with Karen. So bye for now.
Hi.
Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical, and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.